This is Coach Chris Holtman. You're listening to Drive the Lane Podcast.
Welcome back to Drive the Lane. A little somber episode today. Buckeyes are on a little bit of a losing streak. Good little weak stretch for Michigan, which sucks. We got Timmy Hall here on the show from 97.1 The Fan to kind of just talk with us. You know, misery loves company. Now, Timmy's the man. He gave some great insight into the Ohio State basketball situation, which we're of course going to do to kick things off on that on this episode. But real quick, less than 2 weeks from now, January 26th, another live show at the Butcher's Tap. Come hang out with us. Guests to be announced soon. Good food, good drinks, a good time. Butcher's Tap in Wrigleyville. It's just a quick show, 7:30 to 9. Get there by 7:30. We'll be off the stage by 9, drinking with you all, having a good time. Get on out to the Butcher's Tap the night before the Ohio State Northwestern game in Evanston. We'll be going to that game as well. Exciting stuff over the next few weeks, but we got to pump the brakes a little bit because Ohio State hoops on a little bit of a skid. Dropped three games in a row in Big Ten play. Not great. The Big Ten record is 2-4 at this point, which I'm going to say one more time. Not great. Not great. Who better to talk to than former Ohio State basketball player Joey Lane? I just want to know what were you thinking immediately when the game was over? And then we can kind of come back into how we're feeling now.
I don't know. Immediately after the game, I was thinking about how there's an element of hope being poison. That is a theme on this show, it seems like. Ohio State looked, I would say, unrecognizable in the first half, but that was the team that we've seen the past few weeks in the first half. They came to life in the second half. They went on that 16-0 run or whatever it was to take the lead by 4. And you're sitting here like, okay, they're back. They're playing well. They're finally making threes. The defense is great. They're rebounding. They're getting great shots. Dale Bonner is the catalyst to all this. It's so, so awesome. And then poof, all disappears. And, you know, I don't want to say in clutch time, but as it's gone in the end of games, they have, struggled to close out halves, which they did in this half, in this game, and then games, which they did in this game. And the overarching immediate thought was, this is the team that it's been the last few games. It's been the Achilles heel. I don't think Bruce is shouldering a lot of the offensive load as he should as a really good player, but also just because other guys are struggling. Jameson Battle, for the first time in a month, was human today, besides that dunk he had, which was not human. But yeah, I mean, it was just tough. Just a little bit miserable, a little bit of a disaster. You know, we talked to Timmy, had same kind of thoughts. But you know, there's just, all thoughts that people have outside of ludicrous personal shots at people are fair. You know, what's unfair is to say that this team doesn't play hard, because I think they do. What's unfair is to say that guys aren't trying, because I think they are. What is fair is you have to win, and they're not winning. And you can point fingers at whatever you want to point fingers at. People are saying some ridiculous things on Twitter that I think don't necessarily directly have any impact on what's happening, but I hear you. Buckeye fans, I've said all the time that there's pieces of them that are just insane, but I do think there's pieces of them that are correct. I can't sit here and not defend this team, because that's just not how I'm wired. But I just hate, and we agree here, Andrew, I know, when fans are blinded by everything else that's going on and go into every single game and every week and every discussion with the mindset of fire everybody. The players stink. The team stinks. And it seems like they don't root for them. What the reverse of that, what I understand is fans who want this team to be successful, root for the players, root for the coaching staff, root for the university. And then after outcomes, have some questions. That's totally fair. I mean, you and me have a ton of questions. We get it. But yeah, it's just tough. We talked about it last week. Guard play's got to be better. But the crazy thing is in basketball, you have to score more points than the other team. And one team made a hell of a lot more shots, more threes than the other team did. And that was Michigan. And, you know, it is what it is. It's very frustrating. Everyone's got the right to be frustrated. This team that went from shooting 40% from three and not turning the ball over at all is now not making threes at a high level at all. This team that had a guy named Roddy Gale who scored 32 points against West Virginia has made probably 8 shots in the last 3 games combined. That might be an exaggeration. That might not be at all. I think Bruce Thornton is fairly steady. You know, he made a couple threes today. He missed a couple threes. He made his free throws. He had some good finishes around the rim. He made a bunch of pull-ups as he always does. Jameson Battle, for the first time in a while, didn't make shots. But, like, those are your three guys. And if they're not going, it's tough for Ohio State. They're not incredibly deep scoring-wise. No post presence. Felix Akpara showed flashes. I can't remember the last time we rolled the ball into Zed Key more than twice in a game and said, go get a bucket. The defense was good enough to win today. You know, I say that Michigan made so many threes, and that's what won them the game was how well they shot from three. But, I mean, man alive, it's just tough out here if you don't make shots. That's just the bottom line. Got to make shots to win games. They didn't make shots. You can question the coaching staff. You can question the players. I wouldn't question their desire and passion to win or their effort on the court or in practice. I know they're prepared. Like, I've been in the locker room. I've been in the practices. We were prepared to win games. I don't know what it is that can help these guys focus, take care of the ball, make shots, get stops in the last few minutes of halves and especially games. And that's what's most frustrating is finishing. It's not finishing on the rim. It's finishing games. They just have not been able to do that so far. So
I think one thing that I liked is when the team was really looking good this year, it felt like Bruce Thornton was playing with a kind of a fuck it mentality. I'm going to get to the basket. I'm going to draw fouls. I'm going to, you know, flirt with a triple double every game. And I do feel like in that second half today, and it was sparked by being off the ball and Dale Bonner, you know, kind of playmaking. But I do feel like he a little bit in the second half looked like, I'm sick of this. Let's play some basketball, which if there's anything to hang your head on moving forward, it's like, all right, he at least has a little juice back. After the game, he was very defensive of Holtman from what I saw on Twitter. So, like, he seems – not only does he seem like the right guy on the court, but he seems like the guy you want in the locker room off the court when something like this is going on. And maybe that's just what you have to say to the media. But the way he played on the court, at least in the second half down the stretch, made me think this is a guy who still, you know – really, really, really wants it. I'm not saying the other guys don't. I'm just saying what I saw out of Bruce. I also think what's so frustrating about Twitter is Devin Royal had a really good first half, and they were down 10 at half or whatever it was. And then people are tweeting at us in the second half, why isn't Devin Royal in? He had such a good first half. Well, they've made this run, and they came back, and they were dominating the game. We didn't say Devin Royal had a good half. He should be playing 50 minutes of the 40-minute game. He had a good half. All right, that's a guy maybe you go to in the future when you need a little spark, you know? So that's another thing that's difficult with reactions and Twitter and all that, but definitely tough to be optimistic. I mean, we talked less than a week ago about how the team needs to go 500 to make the tournament, and, you know, your response was kind of, I don't know what I'll do if they don't go 500 over the next 16 games. But, I mean, I am worried that in a week and a half, 2 weeks, we're going to have during our live show, we're going to have the conversation that it does seem like the season's over. I'm not saying that yet. Definitely not saying that yet. A lot of season left, but I'm definitely concerned that we could be saying earlier than we'd like, all right, you know, what happens now? Where does the team go from here? Which sucks, especially because after the West Virginia game, it seemed like the complete opposite. It seemed like this is a brand new team. They're not going to lose a bunch of games in January. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm with you. I don't think that the season's over. The expectations are clearly shifting. If you're looking at this year and you're not thinking about future years, the expectation of this team is not one of, hey, let's compete for a double bye. It's, you know, you're a middle of the pack team in the top 10 in the Big Ten for sure, if not the top 8. You know, what does this year look like? You know, can you make something out of this year? And I think they're fully capable of doing that. And listen, the Big Ten is, it's hard because I'm at a constant battle with the idea that the Big Ten is not as good as give me a break. Kincaid just scored a touchdown. Give me a break. I'm at a constant battle with, I think they can do well because I don't think the Big Ten is as good top to bottom, like generally speaking, but like also then they shouldn't be losing these games. So maybe they're not that good. Right. So it's just tough. But yeah, I, you know, the expectation for me moving forward is that the season is not over and they're going to compete and they're going to win games that they're not supposed to win the rest of this year. But that bar is being moved and you just can't quit on the season yet. I'm not ready to quit on the season.
I agree. I'm not ready to quit on the season, but I am feeling significantly worse about the season than I was even this morning. And we talked about, oh, well, Michigan could be this at the end of the season. Michigan State could be that, blah, blah, blah. None of that's going to matter if they don't put themselves in a position to be in the tournament. But we cover more of that with Timmy Hall. We cover some fun CJ Stroud stuff with Timmy Hall. We even talk a little bit about the new AD that it looks like it's all but official coming over from A&M, which is a little interesting considering this last, did he give Jimbo Fisher his contract? Do you know?
I don't know. I have no comment about the AD situation. I know nothing. I heard that it was the Washington State AD. So what do I know?
Nothing. Well, anything else on this Buckeye team before we flip it to Tim?
No, I just same urge as always. Don't lose faith in the student athletes and no need to go at guys personally and anything like that. Like this team plays really hard. And they fought in this game down 14 to come back and take the lead by 4, like we said, down 12, whatever it was. Support them and you know, take the results as they come. It's all fair. I get it. It's all fair. But you know, you're either in it or you're not. And if you're in it, then great. This team is capable of more than what they're showing. And I hope that they you know, get to see that at some point this year. So we'll see. We'll see.
For as much negativity as we've been saying about people on Twitter, and maybe you have seen differently, but I actually have not seen like, oh, Roddy sucks, Bruce sucks. I've seen a little bit of like, damn, this isn't what we thought they were a few weeks ago. But you know, quick to praise these guys when they do well. But yeah, let's flip it to Timmy. All right, joining us now on Drive the Lane. It's pretty ironic. The name of the episode the last time we had Timmy on the show was "What's Going On with Ohio State Basketball and CJ Stroud Talk," literally like a year ago. And both topics, well, obviously the Ohio State basketball, we're always talking Ohio State basketball, but both topics are extremely relevant today. Timmy, welcome back to the show.
Boys, Andrew, Joey. Yeah, thanks for doing that, by the way. I really appreciate how you wait for these abysmal losing streaks to get me on to talk about, you know, state of the program type stuff. I'd rather do it when it's sunshine and things are good, when Bruce was, you know, looking like he was going to be averaging 20-6 the entire year and he'd be on that midseason Wooden Award list. It's also ironic. Look, I'm here at work at the Fan where we have a Columbus Blue Jackets theme studio. Those guys thought it'd be best to be trailing in the third period this afternoon so they could score and then win in a shootout of their own. So it's kind of upside down. That's supposed to be the Jackets blowing a game, but it's becoming another mini trend now with Buckeye basketball that they got to correct. They got to correct it soon based on just where the mood is for this team, guys, for this program. It's just, you guys are connected to the fan base with how you, your activity on social media. You guys feel it, you know it. And Joey, it's got to suck for you, man, because I know, I mean, Holtman's such a good dude and you played for him and we know those guys can coach, but it's harder than that right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And Timmy, like you said, it does seem like every time we talk to you, it's when the teams are close to rock bottom is a terrible term. And that was being thrown out all over social media today. And that's so unfair for losing a game to your rival on the road to be like, that's the worst loss of the season. Like, people need to listen. It's mostly warranted, but people also need to take a step back at the same time. I'm curious in your perspective, because your Twitter feed is different than my Twitter feed and you interact with a lot more people and you know, are as close, but also a little bit further away from the program in some different ways. Like, what is your interpretation with what's fair and what's unfair in terms of, you know, yes, it's a 3-game losing streak, but the state of the program, generally speaking, hasn't been the best ever in the last few years. You know, right. What do you think is fair and unfair from what you're hearing?
I mean, I think whatever your opinions are right now as a Buckeye basketball fan, almost all is fair. Now, you want to talk about unfair. Unfair is attacking somebody, you know, attacking somebody's character because of wins and losses. Going after somebody's family is psychotic, you know. But if you're just somebody on Twitter that, you know, buys Buckeye basketball tickets from time to time, you consider yourself to be a fan and you're a very passionate fan. Look, wins are what pays the bills. That's the business that they're in. When you're looking at an athletics department the size of Ohio State's, they're in the business of winning. They're paying millions of dollars for the services of these coaches. I'm sure that's explained and expressed to them when they take the job, what the standards of excellence are at Ohio State. So you said it too, like in a vacuum, losing on the road to Michigan, even the under 500 Michigan team, because we know what Big Ten play is like on the road, but it's not just that, right? Like we've got recent history to go off of. I think it continues to be that there's a 3-pack of benchmarks that we could talk about as college basketball fans, a trinity of benchmarks, if we call it that. There's winning conference tournaments. There's winning a outright or share of a regular season championship. I love either of those as a college basketball fan. Love them. Yep. They buy time for me. They buy equity in someone's career for me. And then the third one, of course, is going to the Sweet 16 or better. It's those three things. And zero have been done at Ohio State, and it stinks. You can't really say, like, another thing that would be unfair is to say that it's been a total failure. I think that's unfair. It's not. Going to the tournament every year but one is not a failure. But at the same time, if we're debating, and you know, some fans will look this way, there's been more. There's more that you want to have accomplished when you're 7 years in. And I think that's where it is, Joey. So, yeah, you will see some things that are across the line, across the bow a little bit, but there's a lot of people you talk to that are just looking for getting it back. And I think when I talked about this a couple times already today on the Fan, you've got to have three things that are kind of all fluid to have a successful program, really in any sport. Mainly, like when you talk about a fan base, though, you're talking about your big ones, the ones that drive ratings and revenue, football, men's hoops, And you felt it at times with Buckeye football, and then you always question it and wonder how to get back there. But there's, you know, the coaching staff, there's the players, that those two are connected and in good rapport and good relationships all the time. But then there's the most key one, and that's your fan base. It's your coaches, it's your players, and it's your connection with the fan base. Because if you don't have the fan base there and there's no excitement and there's no energy for your team, that might be the hardest one, just in my chair, like watching someone try to win back. And I think that's what this year was going to be about. And with a new AD, you know, that we talk about that on a day that maybe the announcement is not an announcement is out, but reports, multiple reports that Texas A&M's Ross Bjork could be the guy to follow Gene Smith. So we've known that's been coming, and who knows what that means for this year going into next year. But I kind of thought that a team like this had to make the NCAA tournament, almost had to make the NCAA tournament. If you're not going to, you know, win the Big Ten, which is tough with Purdue doing what they're doing, or Wisconsin, right? They're the one that's at the top of the conference right now. But anyway, that was a lot for such a small question.
But very
I've been known to do that, and I'm sorry.
Oh, but very relevant. I mean, Andrew, I know you have a question. For me, it's like, and as you're listening to this episode, you've probably already heard me talk about this, but like, generally speaking, I think I agree with everything's fair. It is fair in my frankly biased outlook. It's fair to be critical of the players and the coaching and all that because they're losing games. But at the same time, like if you are a fan, you aren't rooting for them to fail also. And it seems like there's like an element of fans that are like, oh, knew it. Same old Holtman wanted. I wanted it to happen. And now it's happening. You know, I don't understand. I don't understand the being critical of the outcomes after they happen. Sure. But while the games are going on and even before the games, rooting for the failure of the program, it seems like that's what's happening, which I just can't comprehend.
I hear you. And it's those tweets where, you know, someone will just throw out there when it's, you know, 5 minutes into the basketball game and already give them the loss. And they always go right to Holtman being fired.
Well, they all know more than me too, Timmy, which I didn't play the game at Ohio State for this coaching staff, but they know more than me, which I can appreciate. So yeah, Andrew, would you like to join this conversation?
Well, I was just going to say, and I feel like we all definitely do this. We all, as in these three people on the call, Joey, maybe me and you a little more, because we're very, 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 very biased. But I do feel like every year, excuse is the wrong word, but every year we're like, oh, this didn't break the right way for Ohio State. This didn't break the right way for Holtman. And I don't necessarily think that we're wrong. It just sucks that that's the case. Like, for example, the last 3 years, we were like, Dwayne left a year early. You didn't get more than 1 year out of Malachi. And then, you know, Bryce was gone. But all of a sudden, you got Roddy Bruce. I'm sitting here thinking positively of, like, you know what the ceiling is for Roddy, Bruce, and Felix, like those three younger guys, that if you keep that together, you're going to have something special. My fear is, like, if you shake something up, what happens to all the pieces? Is my fear. And it sucks that it's this like negative online at this point in the season, because a little two game winning streak would probably flip, you know, our three minds around to be a little more positive. But it's just going to take so much for the negative people to flip back around. And it's really going to come down to one of those three things that you mentioned at the beginning, Timmy, like to quote unquote save this season. Is there a Big Ten championship game run possible? And is there a Sweet 16 run possible? Personally, Joey and I in the episode got into a little more what we think about that. Yeah. But in your opinion, you know, regular season title out the door, we'll say, do you think the other two are feasibly possible at this point in the season?
Look, it's hard. It's hard to predict that after the three-game trend that you've seen, right?
Yeah.
There's times of the season where I thought this thing was taken off. Maybe not like a rocket ship, but taken off. And We know Roddy's battling an ankle injury. I thought he, you know, hit it very well. It didn't look like there was anything slowing him down, but we know just from talking to people that he had a pretty puffy ankle. But yeah, it's tough for me to predict it now, Andrew. I'm kind of have to take a step back and just let this team do what they do. I'll never kill a season before a season is dead.
Yeah.
You know, the regular season with 2-4 now, that's so disappointing because the start that you had in some of these teams that you wound up playing in these first six games, I just would love for them to get back to having a hot start in conference play. You know, I feel like it's been a good while now for having a hot, like the 5-1 start, you know, or the 4-2 start, something like that. Winning
his first year.
Winning not just one, but maybe two true road games when you catch the right teams. And they did that here. They caught, you know, Penn State, Indiana, and Michigan, with Michigan being four games under 500 when they played them. So I don't think about the regular season, but certainly there's the basketball team that we've seen in there that can make – we saw this team make a run last year in the Big Ten tournament. Yes. So I can't kill them for that. No way. That's a long time from now. Their mood could be reset. You know, guys could get out of funks. Buttons could be pushed. So no, I can't kill them for making a run in the Big Ten tournament or possibly making a run to the Sweet 16 yet. But as far as Sweet 16, they got to win some quality games first to get to the NCAA tournament. And I don't know. I don't know how that's going to be looked at if this team fails to reach a tournament, because that was the one benchmark that you had been hitting, was at least grinding your way at least to getting into NCAA tournaments until last year. And I count the one in the pandemic season as a make. I think everybody should, because that was maybe
the best team he had.
Best setup, the best mood about the team that they had. And you said it, Andrew, they didn't get any good luck because Caleb could have wound up with two more years because the pandemic season. And Caleb didn't come back, and that would have been a nice piece to have on the following team. But, you know, they've always, you know, had some guys that they could have had for just one more season to blend in with the next batch of players, but they hadn't gotten it.
Timmy, I know you have to jump here, and we appreciate you joining us kind of on short notice as we do this sort of like emergency-esque type State of the Union address podcast.
Oh, man.
Quickly before you leave, if there was one thing, two things to point to in the three-game skid, and you could phrase it however you want. This needs to be fixed. These guys need to do this better. This needs to stop. Whatever it is, what are you looking at as we move forward in what still could be, like you said, a successful season? It's a tough start. It's a rough patch, but the season is far from over. What are you looking to shift the tides here?
This might not be what most people would say about them, but I look at the fact that I believe in the long term and clearly in Bruce, and I still believe in Roddy. I think he's in a funk. That's it. I just think he's in a funk and that he can dig his way out of it. And it has been the reason for maybe even two of these three losses, that you just haven't been able to rely on him for much of anything for plays that you used to. Miss that one that he always makes, right? Right in the key.
Yeah.
When they're down by four, that goes. It's a 2-point game with still 1:40 left. I think on both ends of the floor, I don't know if they've got this. That's why it's such a big thing for me. Can their post presence elevate on both ends of the floor?
Yeah.
You know, Felix is such a great shot blocker, but when, you know, someone's not going to, you know, throw one up there for him to swat into the second row, can they keep their feet? Can they wall up, make guys shoot over them? That means the improvement in defensive rebounding positioning, to making sure you gobble up more of those defensive rebounds. And I thought Felix a couple times actually did show some low post offense. And that is huge, because just haven't been given Zed those opportunities where he gets one-on-one and you can feed him on the block and he goes to town with some of his low post moves. Can he still do that is a question. Can Felix keep doing a little bit more of that? He made a few buckets down there today where we can go games without seeing Felix get a low post touch. Yeah. Where he actually has back to the basket and just goes to operate. He did that a couple times. Can Devin come along? So I'm looking there as one area where I wonder if they can just build and build and make it a little bit better.
Timmy, before you jump, real quick, one sentence about what CJ Stroud is doing as a rookie.
CJ Stroud is a freaking dude. I mean, that's the sentence. That guy's so freaking good, right? There's two sentences.
CJ Stroud is a dude. That dude is so freaking good.
If you don't love me at my loss to Michigan at Ann Arbor off on a 5-game losing streak, you don't love me at my CJ Stroud. The pun is in there somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know what throw. Probably the throw to Schultz was the one where you just said, "Oh my God, like what are we doing?" But that throw, I love how Nico Collins also is now this unbelievable player for the Houston Texans. He was nothing as a rookie, like a 400-yard guy. Now he looks like one of the best receivers in football. And that throw early where CJ steps up into a big hit and just lofts it over, and Nico then had the wherewithal to turn his route in. It was like quarterback and receiver working as one on the same page. You love to see it. You know, rookie head coach, rookie quarterback, all in. I'm all in on the Texans for my team with all my, you know, no Washington since he's out.
Listen, I'm with you.
All in on Houston.
People joke and they're like, Nico Collins, what the heck happened to him? I can't believe. No, he went from Davis Mills to CJ Stroud. That's what happened to him. You know, I mean, like, you know.
Well, he went from who's the guy? Cade McNamara to CJ Stroud, really. That's a funnier way to look at it.
Well, yeah, if you want.
He's great, though. He's,
we can make all the mistakes. CJ,
he's great.
Yeah.
Sometimes it just takes some time or some patience. And Tank Dell, when he gets healthy, how good that pick looked. Will Anderson on defense.
Yeah,
we're all Texans fans. We're all Texans fans now. It's so stupid.
I don't even know what their
funny
slogan is. What's their phrase? Do they have like a who day or something? What do they say? I'll be saying it.
It's probably go Texans.
Go Texans.
Exactly. Timmy, you're the man. Thank you. We appreciate it.
All right, guys.
And enjoy the rest of your day and stay warm. It's freezing over here. So
my God. As cold as the Buckeyes from 3-point land.
That's exactly right. Ooh. Like he does it for a living. Look at that.
We hope you enjoyed this episode and interview with Timmy Hall. As we mentioned, our live show at the Butcher's Tap is coming up in a week and a half, January 26th, 7:30 to 9. Guests to be announced soon. Hope to see you there. Buckle up. Drive the lane.
Go Buckeyes. Beat the Nittany Lions. Revenge. Need it. I'll be there.